welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Hotel. We've got the back half of an episode here, and we're about to get some really wild stuff. So, I'm joined as always by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Sorry, I've worked too much today, so I'm bad at intros. Okay. Welcome in.
Hello. Understandable.
Yeah. We were talking about the episode She Wants Revenge, where we had opened up with there being some porno folks who went into the hotel. They got killed by Iris, I think, for
some reason. She loved and hated pornography. She's like weirdly horny because she's an old vampire now, I guess, but like also doesn't like that it exploits women, so she killed one of the exploited women.
One of the exploited women?
Yeah.
It's weird. I'm really against slavery, so I'm killing all the slaves. Wait, no! Like
that's Iris, no!
Iris, stop! Wait! Yeah, basically that was her plan, which, like, very cool, Iris. Not what I would have done, but hey. Who am I to tell a woman not to have hobbies?
What if Batman got rid of the victims, actually?
They wouldn't be victims anymore. Problem solved.
The Joker walking over. Hey, man, we gotta talk.
Oh my god, yeah.
But yeah, where did we drop into? It was, because we saw Lady Gaga just like slap James super hard, right?
Because she's mad because she found out that he had like bricked up, not in the sexy way, bricked up her two paramours
right
in their weird eternity prison. And he's like, but I'm gonna be a good husband and help you install this big metal door in a 24-hour turnaround. That's something that I can do. I'm going to help with that. And they both kind of hassle a contractor to try and get a bank safe door installed in the Eternity Prison, since there's a big hole in the wall now. James March says some bullshit about it being a load-bearing wall, which I think is probably a bigger problem than what else is going on here. And then Lady Gaga slaps the shit out of him like, I don't fucking forgive you and I hate you so much. I hope you die, even though you're already a ghost. And then he like crawls on his hands and knees and like begs her not to leave him. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, they've given us some real fast and loose like reasons why other characters answer to James March, like Sally. They're like, oh, he like, I'm doing a jerk off motion with my hand. He keeps the demon that she summons at bay because of her drug addiction?
He does? I didn't know. I forgot that.
Allegedly. even though that doesn't make any sense.
It is at the very least like very heavily implied that that's what's happening, I think. Because she just directly shows up and is like, I think he just says, like, I keep that. He just straight up says, like, I keep it in check for you or something. Okay. Which, like,
yeah.
If it's problem is it's a metaphor. So, like, you can't just be like, it's a metaphor for drug addiction. And it's like, oh, okay. So did James March help her with her drug addiction? No, not even a little. Oh, okay. So, like, what the fuck is the point of it being a metaphor?
It's because aristocracy. It's because I don't know. I'm out of ideas. It makes no sense.
Yeah. Also, it kind of seems like from the beginning, it kind of seems like Sally controls the Drildo demon. Like she summons it, which is weird. Maybe it's just constantly like it shows up and she like has to spritz it with like a spray bottle, like a cat that keeps it on the counter or something. She's like, no, get out of here. Get out of here.
Bad.
It is worth mentioning that in our last episode, we did mention that it is Will Drake and Lady Gaga's wedding day. And they were getting ready to get married. He wanted to have a big wedding and she didn't want to do that. There's a whole scene of him remembering that bisexuality is real and explaining it to his son, who's confused why he, a gay man, is marrying a woman. And then during that, Miss fucking Evers just appears, just like instant transmissions into the room. And he's like, holy fuck, who is that? And Lachlan, his son's like, oh, that's my best friend, Miss Evers. She's just here sometimes. And Miss Evers is like, you can't marry that lady. I have a weird backstory that I actually loved James March. And that was never mentioned until now. And even though it's episode 9, we never mentioned that until this particular episode. But he said I was ugly as a box of rocks and wanted to marry Lady Gaga instead. That's a character trait that I have, apparently, that we've decided. Also, you can't marry that lady. She's gonna fucking kill you. And Will Drake responds by going, how the fuck did you get in my house? Which is fair, but right, not the point. And then he's like, I don't believe you.
I have a prenup.
Yeah, I have a prenup.
And then I have a prenup, which, yeah, like, I get where he's coming from, right? But, like, and in the real world where, like, if you got married to a woman and then she killed you the next day, like, your business partners would be like, no. Like, yeah. then that would help, right? But in this world, prenups do not protect you from murder. And apparently, even if you have a prenuptial that says, if I mysteriously die the next day, Lady Gaga gets no of my money, everybody's just like, nah, give it to her.
She deserves it. She's a nice lady. She got Ponzi schemed like a bajillion years ago or something. She deserves this. Also, like, more, like, a lot of poor forethought on the part of Lady Gaga, but, like, come on, Lady Gaga. If you're gonna go after, like, a random rich person to get their money, don't go after one that's, like, really in the public eye. Like, a fashion designer that everybody knows and would, like, notice went missing, like, immediately. No, go for, like, a crypto guy or like a tech guy.
Or like
guy.
A healthcare CEO.
Yeah.
You could
yeah.
just kill one of those and everybody will forget the CEO's name the next week. They'll remember your name. I guess that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to have another Lady Gaga Mangione. Yeah. Everyone would remember her. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Go find someone in between. Find someone with a lot of money that's not as morally reprehensible as a healthcare CEO. Find a middle ground.
Yeah. Surely there's got to be one of those around in Los Angeles. But yeah, that's her plan, in case you guys somehow forgot, is that she's going to marry and then murder Will Drake. It's a bad plan because she's planning on doing it within 24 hours of marrying him, which is maybe like the quickest way to get caught, period. Just full stop, probably the quickest way to get caught is by getting married and then immediately killing the person you married. Right.
I feel like even without the prenup, too, like, the cops aren't going to be like, well, you can get to keep the money even though, you know what I mean? Like, it's still like, well, it's obvious why you killed this person, you know, but
I think yeah. probably, like, as long as you're still, like, in annulment range, which I think has, like, a certain range of days since the, like, actual wedding, the officiant wedding, I think that doesn't count. Like, I feel like it doesn't go into effect until that time elapses. I could just be making that up, but that sounds right. Like, if you could still hypothetically annul the wedding, I don't think you still get to keep half of their stuff.
Also, there's, like, a really clear distinction between Occam's razor and there are no other alternatives. And, like, this is pretty deep into there are no other alternatives. Like, if Will Drake, who up to this point has had no major enemies and by all means was just a nice little designer guy who was pretty well beloved for making good designs and all that stuff, and then he marries someone and dies the next day. There's like not a suspect list. It's just you.
Right.
Like, yeah. Who else are they going to try to arrest?
You're telling me that guy got stabbed by knife hands, Jerry? That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to believe it. A bunch of old serial killers came together and also a guy in a mask who liked writing letters.
And they had dinner and nothing weird happened. But yeah. And then that's. After that is Miss Evers is like, whatever, man, I tried to warn you about that she's gonna fucking kill you, and when she does fucking kill you, I'm gonna watch and laugh at you. And I regret to inform you that they don't know what subtlety is in this television show, or metaphor or any of that, so I think you can probably connect the dots as to what's probably gonna happen. Because she very specifically says, when you die, I'm going to be standing above you and you're going to call out for me and ask for help. And I'm going to look down at you and I'm going to laugh at you. And I'm like, damn, that's super specific. I hope that a very specific set of events takes place that allows you to be in the right place at the right time. If he dies in a way, that you would be able to make good on that. Hopefully Lady Gaga doesn't choose to, I don't know, kill him outside of the hotel, which would be the smart thing to do so that he's not a ghost there forever. Who could say? Who could say? But the important thing is that the porn stars got murdered. Two of them got murdered at the hotel. So unfortunately, they will also be ghosts, I'm sure. But the third one, the naked guy, Donovan, who is doing his own thing and has had sex again with Lady Gaga and is on her side again, question mark.
Yeah, right.
But he's actually a double agent and has taken the porn star to Ramona for some unknowable reason. Donovan, I find one of his weird characteristics is he loves bringing a guy to a place that no one was expecting him to bring a guy to. That's how we got John. He just brought John to James March for kind of no reason.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this is like a conflation of actual vampires again, where like, vampires love a sacrifice on a day, you know, real vampires who like need the blood to live. If you show up with like a guy full of good blood, they're going to be like, hell yeah, brother. But these aren't really vampires usually most of the time. So it's right. Like just really weird that he's like, hey, I got you a guy to suck off. A porn star to suck. Not like that. Wait, hold on. Wait. Let me try again.
I mean, you could do that too if you want. He's already naked and like he might be into it. But yeah. Like that's not the sole purpose of why
he's a professional
him.
Even.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not why he's here.
That was on his dossier for today, in fact. Like he actually has not crossed that off of his checklist for today. So he might be quite grateful if you were to, in fact, facilitate that. But no, they do something way weirder, which is they hook him up to like a dialysis machine and then they treat him like he's a dialysis soda stream, which is so, and they take little sippies off of him while he's still alive. It's very weird. But Donovan at this point kind of confesses to Ramona like, yeah, I'm having sex with Lady Gaga again. Because she's my addiction, because everybody's got an addiction, remember? Everybody has an addiction.
It's like addiction.
Yeah, because that's the theme of the American Horror Story, addiction. That was this season.
Funny how only men can be addicted to sex and women can't be addicted to fucking bouncing on dick. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy to me.
Bro,
I just realized that. This show has... I don't think they've ever had a woman be like
they
sex
did.
Crazed.
They did.
And they've had so many men.
One time.
Did they?
One time. And you remember what they did to her? They cut off her fucking legs. They cut off her legs
asylum.
And threw her down a flight of stairs.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There was one woman who was allowed to be horny once and she got the worst death imaginable.
She got treated like garbage by the television show because dared to be horny.
And then like turned into a literal monster after that. You know what I mean? Like then they're like, that's not enough for you. Like you're
she's committed the worst crime a woman can commit, being horny. Yeah.
Look at her scare the school children, you see? Like, oh man. All right.
Finally, some equal opportunity where some gay guys are like, straight sex, gross.
Yeah. all the men in this show that are like have like sexual addiction, because remember also the dad from season one allegedly also had that.
You mean Johnny jacking it while looking in the backyard?
Yeah. Yes.
Jacking to the back? Yeah.
They all just get to be really sad about it and they get to use it as a reason why they cheat on their wife. But if God forbid a woman gets horny and she gets her legs cut off and then thrown down a flight of stairs.
And then, like, forgotten about for four episodes. And then she comes back, but is a zombie at, like, an elementary school or something.
Yeah, and they feel like, put her out of her misery. Yeah, exactly. Incredible writing. Thank you, American Horror Story. Speaking of incredible writing, thank you, American Horror Story. Donovan's like, yeah, I put so much GHB in Lady Gaga's drink, and she didn't think it was weird at all. Also, I guess the vampire virus that can keep you from getting, like, any illness ever does not keep you safe from being drugged, which kind of seems like a huge...
an oversight.
A huge oversight, yeah.
You know what I was saying? Like, this show doesn't really do well with bisexuals. I feel like vampires are just way above them. You know what I mean? Like...
You know, so, him being like, yeah. Oh, she's my addiction, and me being like, get it? Because it's all about addiction. Addiction, like, American Horror Story, colon, addiction, would have been a much more interesting premise to have, like, vampires be involved with, because, like, vampirism can be a metaphor for addiction. But they didn't do that. They're like, no, it's hotel. The hotel is evil and a little stupid. Also, vampires are there. But the most important thing to take away from this is that we do, in fact, want to rip off The Shining. Forget about all the other stuff. We are ripping off The Shining and the song Hotel California. You have to remember those two things. The addiction thing, that was a good idea, and we're not going to do that.
And the thing is, like, too, like, the metaphor just doesn't work anyway, you know, not unsurprisingly, but, like, none of the vampires, like, read like addicts. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's more like I feel like vampires generically could be a good metaphor for that, but these vampires don't, you know?
Well, I think, like, the biggest problem, I mean, they've done just a really dog shit job of, like, having these vampires exist in general and, like, what their deal is. But, like, I think the biggest problem is all of the vampires in this show treat the urgency of needing blood as the same amount of urgency as, like, I need a cheeseburger if it's 3 p.m. and I've forgotten to eat for the rest of the day. Like... everyone has to eat. I think that's the biggest thing, is they forgot that, like, regular people also have to eat every couple of hours, or else they also don't feel very good. And they're using that same level of urgency for vampires, which isn't really that exciting, if they're just, like, normal hungry, like regular people.
I think the problem is, like, they need something that they don't have, which is, like, they need something that reads more closely to addiction. Because if you take the whole, like, withdrawal, meaning, like, oh, they haven't drank blood in a while, so they're weaker and blah, 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 that's, like, a vampire thing already. So it's really, it's like, if they're going for that metaphor, it's a sucky attempt, pardon the pun, because, like, it's already very adjacent to vampires that we know, you know what I mean? So it's, like, it doesn't read well. It's just like, so is it that it's a metaphor for addiction, or are they just vampires? And it's like, well, they're just crappy vampires, actually. And
they're just
else
people that need
well.
To eat, just like everybody yeah. else. They're just guys yeah. who need to eat. Also, every rule they've given us about what they're allowed to eat, that's apparently not important, because every rule they've established, somebody has broken so far with no negative repercussions whatsoever. So all of the rules yeah. don't matter either.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, they don't follow any interesting vampire restrictions either, right? Like, they don't have to be invited in places. Being in the sun doesn't kill them instantly or light them on fire. You know, like, none of that stuff. So it's just, like, they're just weird fucking people is yeah. what it is. Like, they're weird guys who like to roll around in blood and think, like, they need to take their son's blood and inject it in them to keep them young forever or whatever. Like, literally, I think ex-CEOs of PayPal are more fucked up than the vampires in this show.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing about it, too, right? It's because it's, like, normally, too, vampires have some interesting, like, weakness, kind of like you're saying or something. But, yeah, these are just people. They have nothing. There's nothing really remarkable about them.
Or,
you know, yeah.
Or, yeah, like, they eat food or taste alcohol or whatever, and it turns into ash in their mouth or, like, forces them to have some horrid reaction or something.
Yeah.
Like, you could do something with that. And then you could have people, like, have emotional moments with each other. Like, yeah, I can't remember the last time I tasted food. And that's, like, a very human relatable thing, but...
You know, it's funny. No. It's funny you say that, because, like, other vampire media, they add stuff to it, right? That makes the vampire more interesting. Like, maybe they can turn into mist and go through a gate, or maybe they can become a werewolf too, like in Bram Stoker's Dracula, or maybe some of them, like, move at super speed, and some of them can read minds, like in Interview with the Vampire. But here, it's like American Horror Stories. Like, what if we made the vampires less interesting? Like, we gave them, like, less cool things or, like, stuff to talk about. And they just drink blood and that's it, you know? Okay.
That was the interesting part of vampires, right? Everybody thought that was the cool part. Oh, wait, I'm being handed a note. This is just cannibals. This is a cannibal plot line.
Well, like, and the other thing about, like, addiction, too, for, like, a metaphor, right, is, like, the whole notion is, like, okay, you feel great the first time, and then it kind of becomes this horrible trap where you try to get back to that original thing. But here it's like, no, I'm going to be ageless, and I just don't want to, like, be desiccated. Like, it just doesn't really work, like, as a metaphor. Like, I get that vampire. Again, it's like, it could be a good metaphor if you did something with it, but you're not, so... All right, then. Good talk, American Horror Story.
Yeah. I feel Drill, like that's though. that's the biggest thing that I've noticed with American Horror Story at large, with how they steal stuff, is, like, they have a general idea of, like, things that are popular in media, both horror and otherwise, but they almost always exclusively misunderstand why people like that specific thing. And they just take it completely at face value and try to replicate it like a 5 minutes crafts video. And what you end up with is like a fundamental misunderstanding of why that genre or trope or just property in general,
right,
is enjoyed.
It's like they watch Seven and they're like, oh, I get it. People really like checking off lists.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not it. That's not what made the movie.
People like not knowing what's in a box. And then you show them what's in the box and they're like, yippee.
I get it. It's a white elephant metaphor. Like, what? No, that's not what it is, American. Okay, well, all right.
They watch The Godfather and they're like, ah, this is because people hate horses. I understand.
Oh. My gosh. Pasta is important. Thank you, The Sopranos. Like, that's like.
Oh my god. Yeah. So anyway, Donovan is like, yeah, I'm addicted to Lady Gaga, and I know that I'm not gonna not be able to love her. So you gotta do it. You gotta kill her, Ramona, because I'm just gonna always love her because I'm pussy, I guess. And
then Ramona's just like, fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's really just like, fine, I guess.
Ramona's like, I would have done it without all of this weirdness that you're doing, but whatever, I suppose. Also, in case you guys forgot, in our last episode, we did mention that at the beginning of this episode, Iris did, in fact, throw Ramona under the bus to Lady Gaga, because I guess Lady Gaga assumed Ramona was the one who let Boss Baby out, which is kind of true, but Iris folds like a wet napkin immediately and sells out Ramona in order to save Donovan. So Lady Gaga is, in fact, aware of Ramona's presence, because remember, Ramona hasn't like been there when Lady Gaga's been there. She's not like a character that like comes in and out of the hotel like all the other characters. She only shows up when Lady Gaga's not there to try and kill the vampire babies, which she has been 0-2 on doing thus far. Rin just got hit by a truck. Honestly, it was pretty easy to take Rin out. Ramona's kind of not got a great track record for what seems to be the easiest thing to do of all time. Although I will say, John did unload like a full clip from his gun towards Boss Baby, and that evidently did not work. So maybe it is harder to kill them than I thought. but either way, yeah, they treat the porn star man like he's a soda stream machine. And then we get another flashback, and this is going to be a super fucking weird flashback. This is a flashback we frankly don't even need.
This is the Thai Tuesday asking Liz and Slow Beef segment of, so is this a reference to another piece of vampire media? Because it feels like they're just trying to rip something off and they don't understand why the original works.
I mean, it's not like an uncommon trope. I guess when we get to it, it's not an uncommon trope of like children changing their parents to try and keep them alive. That's not like a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not an unprecedented. I think Twilight did it, but like in a more minuscule way. Carlisle from Twilight is not known for making the right people vampires.
And not in the vampire Lestat. He does it to his mother to keep her alive when she's going to die too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon trope. It almost always goes poorly, but also we've already done it because Donovan did it to Iris already. So it's weird that we're doing it again. Especially because they treat it really fucking weirdly.
Yeah, so we get a flashback to 1992, and it's introduced by Ramona in the worst way possible of the only man she ever kneeled down for. Like, I can't remember the exact wording, but it, like, clearly sounded like the only man I've ever given head.
Yeah, she, which is she like, says, like, something to the wild. Effect of, she's like, after my movies and after my fallout with Lady Gaga, I did the only thing I knew how to do, which was I went back to the only man I'd ever knelt down for. Diabolical fucking way to introduce your father. Just diabolical. Yeah.
And here's the thing. I 100% think they are, like, doing the blowjob metaphor, right?
Oh, of, they like, sure, for sure.
Yeah. But, like, did not think through, like, okay, but now you're implying you're going down on your butt. You know, like, that's the problem with this. Like,
well, Lady Gaga, you've bested me. Time to blow my dad.
Like, well, I think that's the plot to Castlevania, right?
Yeah, basically.
Owned.
Yeah, that'll show her. That'll show her.
You better not
go
blow. Yeah, you better not go blow your dad, Ramona. I'm gonna. Don't.
I'll show you.
Oh my god. Yeah. It's like the only other thing that I can think that it was is they thought it was gonna be like a real big girl boss quote. Like, oh, yeah. Ramona would never like bow down for a man. I'm like, well. Like, I kind of just assumed that already. Like,
yeah, right?
You didn't have to say it. Like, I also,
her
like,
whole character is kind of a strong, independent black woman who don't need no man. Like, that's kind of her the whole shit, right? Like, she's a blaxploitation actress. From the, like, that's the point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Also, like, but they literally could have, like, worded it any other way. She could have been like, I went back to the only man I knew I could rely on, or the only
or
man
gave
I've
a
ever,
shit about.
Yeah, that I've ever relied on in my entire life. The only man
or
I knew had
the
my
only
back.
Person I'd bow down for, other than God or something, you know? Right. Like, yeah,
not kneel down for. I can't even
the only man
of a
I ever
single
context
to. That makes more sense than any of those other things. Because, like, you might be thinking, oh, was her dad like a big badass who like handled shit and was like commanded a lot of respect? No, he's like a little old man. Like, he's a tiny little guy. Like, he's just a fella. He's not like, I don't like, he's not like someone who would like maybe command an audience.
It's not like a burger trucking thing where it's like the man in the mountain who needs to be brought down to fix everything. Yeah, he's like literally like a little toddling old man.
Yeah, and so then the flashback, she's like crying and she goes into a house we've never seen and she knocks on the door and her elderly, little tiny elderly father opens the door and he's like, whoa, we haven't seen you in a long time. You look pretty good for not seeing you in 15 years. Have you been getting like plastic surgery or whatever? And she like hugs him and then he lets her in the house. And then we see some like domestic scenes of like her eating with her parents. And like her mom is also kind of old and frail. And her dad says something to the effect of like, oh, well, I'm sick, but I'm not going to do anything about it because your mom is sick and only one of us can be sick, which is a very like elderly dad thing to do. I can say from experience, extremely elderly
that
dad
is real.
Thing to do.
Yes.
And then her mom ended up dying before her dad did. So it was just her and her dad. And then his like dementia, or I think it was Alzheimer's, started to get worse. And he like started to not be able to tell where he was, which is really common. And one
and, like,
day
didn't recognize her or mistook her for her mother, which as somebody who was mistaken for his dad, that is very real. It's very sad when it happens to you.
Yeah. Like, this is a pretty accurate, this is a pretty accurate representation of like living with parents that have Alzheimer's. It's just really weird that we're doing it.
That it's here? Yeah, that it's here. Yeah, that's like, this would be like a very touching thing in any other show. But in this, it's just like, what the fuck are we doing here? Do we need to humanize Ramona? Like, why?
And why did we start it off with the oral, like, reference? Like, Jesus.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like, It would be like if you were watching one of those shows that's like a daily show that like doesn't have a through line, like Family Guy, and then randomly like a character in the background was like, let me derail today's episode to spend about roughly 5 to 7 minutes talking about my brother who served in the war and has PTSD. Like, just a random thing.
After Lady Gaga defeated me, I thought about the only thing in my life that blows: dementia.
Yeah.
I just started watching tapes of 9/11 over and over.
I tried to find every movie made pre 9/11 so that I could see those beautiful towers again.
I don't swallow except when I cry thinking about my poor father.
Yeah. I don't swallow for any man except for my pride when it comes to taking care of my dad. And so
her dad is very sick. Her mom has passed away, and the dad is starting to have like Alzheimer's dementia, reaching that point where he doesn't recognize where he is, who his daughter is, etc. And she decides to do something which is obviously the wrong decision, but, you know, emotionally driven, etc. Which the only problem I have with that is Ramona literally just got rat fucked for emotional snap decision making and making someone a vampire when she shouldn't have. But she decides to do it again and make him a vampire. The problem is it doesn't fix whatever causes Alzheimer's, which, like, I don't know, man. Vampirism seems really dog shitting. Like, truly, truly ass. Because, like, what do you mean it keeps everything else alive but doesn't restore? Why not? Like, why not? So he just is now immortal with Alzheimer's and all that. And then his house gets broke. Oh, yeah. Earlier on, his house got broken into and the robbers just like beat the shit out of him. So after he becomes a vampire, more robbers break in and Ramona rushes home only to find her dad like looking at a TV kind of zoned out with blood all over his mouth and like three dead robbers on the floor.
Yeah. In the span of this, response like, to this, this is like a maybe 3 to 5 minute flashback. This man's house gets broken into twice. In this flashback, it gets broken into once. He gets the shit beat out of him. Ramona then turns him into a vampire, I guess, so that he doesn't have that happen again. It goes poorly, and he starts to decline even more. And then his house gets broken into again. And they try to beat the shit out of him again. But this time, he just eats them. Which, like, the vampire virus doesn't, like, make you strong or anything.
No.
I think he'd still just get the shit beat out of him again. I don't think he'd be able to fight him.
They forgot what their vampires were again. Yeah. They forgot their vampires are just people who live a really long time and maybe are like good at using a sharp coke nail to slice someone's neck, I guess. Like, that's really it.
Yeah. But it's very sad because she's now like the second or third person in the show to be like, oh, yeah, I'll just make someone a vampire that will fix whatever's wrong with them. And the disease slash virus that's supposed to fix whatever's wrong with you doesn't. It just makes you immortal, but with that same problem. Every time something new happens with this virus, it's just worse. It just gets worse.
It fixed that kid's measles, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, but in about 5 minutes, we're going to find out that it actually just made a worse version of the vampire virus that actually gives you measles. That's crazy. As if it couldn't get worse. Imagine you turn someone that has IBS and now if they don't drink blood, they just do be shitting. They just do be shitting all the time.
Vlad the shitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really the worst form of being a vampire. There's really no upside to this type of being a vampire besides like, oh, you might get to live longer. Like, yay, I guess. It simultaneously will heal your wounds like your Wolverine, but also cannot do that thing explicitly. Anyway, her dad still has Alzheimer's, but now he's got vampire Alzheimer's, which is functionally the same. He just needs to drink blood now, which sucks. And she finds that he has eaten the robbers that have broken in, which technically, if we're being honest, it did prevent the same problem from happening twice. So maybe it's not a net negative.
Also, if it was in Florida, castle law. Oh, right, they're in California. Damn. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah, can't do that.
And so she does the next logical thing, which would be, anybody want to finish that sentence?
Give him Xanax, which she does directly look at the camera and go, Xanax. And it was like one step away from being like, I gave him the only medicine that can ease your anxiety so good you won't mind if you're being drowned to death. Xanax. Wink. Like, it was like so close to this. And then, yeah, just like pushes him down and drowns him in a tub.
The worst way to mercy kill someone probably that exists, sort of setting them on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Ah, time to put my elderly father, who's in a great deal of distress, out of his misery. Should I give him so much Xanax that he never wakes up? No, no. I'll just give him just enough that he's not quite lucid as I drown him alive in the bathtub.
And then I said goodbye to the only man who could make me wet, and he, like, drowns him in the bathtub.
Donovan's listening to this story like, there's no other way you could put that. You couldn't describe that any other way. Yeah, and so she drowned her dad. Anyway, then they put her movies on streaming services and people started to remember who she was again, and that made her want to kill Lady Gaga. You might be wondering, is any of this relevant information that will have anything to do with anything moving forward? No, not even a little bit. It won't even be mentioned moving forward. It has nothing to do with anything. In fact, like, you might expect this kind of exposition if we had never met this character before and didn't understand why she wanted to kill Lady Gaga, but we did in fact get a whole sequence when we first met her that was a different flashback to a different fucked up thing that pretty clearly and without much question gave her a clear motive to want to kill Lady Gaga. There's really not any, there's like no blurred lines about it. She got a pretty clear motive before to why she would want to kill Lady Gaga, her ex-girlfriend who murdered her fiance and all of her friends after she had been dumped by Lady Gaga. We got this. The only thing I can think of is because we're out of protagonists at this point. So they were like, we got to make the lady who wanted to kill the babies, we got to make her a sympathetic character. She's our protagonist now for this episode, I guess, because we don't have any other protagonists at this point. So this is as good as it's going to get. We're going to humanize this lady a little bit more so that we care about what happens to her, I guess. Anyway, it's pizza time. It's time for the funniest part of the episode. just truly the funniest part of the episode. Good news. Remember all of those vampire kids from 6 episodes ago that Alex unleashed onto the public and like inadvertently that the show has forgotten existed? Well, good news. The show remembered that they existed. A little too late if I had to guess. There's going to be a lot of draw the rest of the owl as to what's been going on since the last time we saw these kids. But Alex is watching a pizza boy deliver pizza to a house. How she knows to do this, I don't know. Why she's doing this, I don't know. But she is.
Yeah, because if she does know what is going to happen to this pizza guy, and that's why she followed him out here, any and all like moral quandary she had as a doctor are now solved because she just watched a man walk to his death and was like, yeah, cool, good luck, man.
Yeah, sucks to be that guy.
Yeah, good, best of luck to you. Yeah, wouldn't want to be that jack off. Yeah, because the pizza guy goes inside, which I have had happen twice, but one time it was because it was a raging college party and it was their last delivery of the night and we just told them, hey, you want to hang out here and drink with us instead? And they were like, yeah. And then the only other time was crashing into a snowbank outside of my house and I let them just hang out in the living room while we went and dug them out of a snowbank. But otherwise, I don't think delivery people usually come inside. Like, it has to be pretty, especially if it's like a group full of teenage kids and you're like 20, like, you'd probably be like, no, man, I don't want to hang out and play Xbox with you.
Yeah, also, I would go a step further and say that I wouldn't go in the house if I could see a pile of dead bodies from the front door. That would be my biggest deterrent for going into the house, is seeing a ton of dead bodies within eyeshot of the front door. That would be pretty discouraging, I think. Not for this fucking guy, though. He's like, yeah, get me in there. Pretty far in there, too. When she finds him, he's like pretty in there, like pretty deep in the house. But Alex follows him into the house, and again, just a huge pile of dead bodies in the living room. And then she finds Max, that kid, that like 9-year-old or 10-year-old or 12-year-old or however nebulously old he was, kid who had the measles and the anti-vax parents. And he's there, and he's got like 7 other vampire kids with him. And they've just been luring people to his house and killing them. They all have the vampire measles still for some reason, I guess because they're not getting enough blood, ? That's the reason we're given. And Alex is like,
so
no.
They now have the worst form of vampirism possible. Because whereas, like, the other vampires were, like, largely okay, just very dry. They were like the episode of SpongeBob where he couldn't get water, like that.
Yeah.
These kids, if they don't drink blood, like, once a day, they get an outbreak of what I would refer to as, like, explosive measles. Like, it's, like, zero to measles immediately, and they're, like, full on the ground writhing, like, oh, I've got so much pox in me! Like, right away, which is fucking crazy. And then, yeah, at some point, then after that, Alex is like scolding them a little bit, and they're like, it's cool, they won't look for us because we killed all of our parents. And they were like, that's worse, actually. Yeah,
that just makes it more suspicious that all of your parents went missing after you all went missing. That's just gonna mostly get more attention on you. That's not the funniest thing that Alex says.
No.
When she's scolding him. Alex really has some top tier priorities when it comes to urgency. And she's like, well, you fucked up, buckaroo, because you killed the pizza delivery guy. So now we only have 30 minutes before they realize what's happened. And I'm like, Alex, that's not.
Yeah, I was watching this with my buddy, and this is where we both pointed at the screen at the same time and yelled, or less! They'll know in 30 minutes, or less, or else we'll get a refund on the guy!
Like, there's so many reasons why this is funny, but, like, I think the fact that they have fundamentally misunderstood the 30 minutes or less slogan is the funniest part of all of it. That they're like, yeah, if the pizza delivery guy doesn't return back to the store in 30 minutes or less, you have to assume he's dead. That's what that means. That's what 30 minutes or less means. That's what that old adage is. It's not you have 30 minutes to get the pizza to the person by the time it's been ordered or else the pizza's free. It's definitely as soon as the delivery guy leaves the store, a 30-minute timer is started. And if he does not return in that amount of time, either he gets killed Battle Royale style with an exploding neck collar, or
does he have a bomb collar on him? But if it detects he tries to drive away too far, it also goes off. Yeah.
I was thinking more like the pizza parlor was like a big war room, and they see this red digital timer go to zero and beep a little bit, and the bearded guy turns and goes, call the police.
Like, call the police, Jeremy's dead.
See, I was thinking if they were going to go rogue, it would be like, okay, boys, deploy the Domino's pizza drones. Yes, the ones with guns. Get them.
fucking Death Note, but with, like, pizza delivery. It's like, but if he comes back in 29 minutes, he'll know that I called the pizza, and yet.
Yeah, it's so fucking funny that she mentions that, because you know whoever wrote that in the writer's room thought it was a real zinger, like it was a real, real good line. And if you don't think about it at all, I guess it is. If you don't, like, literally think about it from the moment it leaves her mouth to any point in the future, it is, I guess.
It's, like, funny, but, like, I thought we were talking about, like, vampire kids all dying and shit, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's not the time, you know? Like, and I'm not ready to laugh yet, American Horror.
Yeah, the thing about
it
is she's also not saying it as, like, a funny ha-ha bit. She's using it as justification as to why all of the vampire kids need to come with her right now, why it's, like, urgent. And she's like, we've only got 30 minutes now. Way to go.
I guess
it
that
reads
would,
like, yeah, when a little kid is, like, insistent that something needs to be done for some absolutely wild reason, and they're just like, no, you don't understand. If I don't tie my shoes in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to die. Right. And it's just, like, that level of, like, confidence and insistence, but it's like, you're an adult. You're an adult woman. What are you saying?
Yeah, it's very funny. But, like, there is a little bit of conflict, I guess, between, like, Max and this other kind of weird, bigger vampire kid, and also the vampire children, including his girlfriend, who don't want to be eating people and are sad about it and always have the vampire measles. And Max is like, well, I don't want to go with you, and we don't want to go with you because we're doing a weird Children of the Corn thing here. And she's like, well, you don't have a choice. And I'm like, I don't know what we're supposed to think about this scene. Like, if we're supposed to be like, yay, there's going to be vampire measles kids at the hotel. Or whether we're supposed to be like, oh, no, Alex can't get the vampire kids back to the hotel.
This is, like, literally, like, back of the cocktail napkin. Like, fuck, how do we resolve that plot thread where we had all the vampire kids running around? You know, like, all right, good enough. You know, ship it.
Insane. And then that's the end of that. That's all we get to hear about that. Now it's revenge time, I guess, because that's the title of the episode. Remember, it's named after that one band/song. It's She Wants Revenge, and it's revenge time. So back at the hotel, Ramona and Donovan go to get revenge on Lady Gaga, who is allegedly drugged. Surprising literally no people. Donovan was a triple agent, actually, and was working for Lady Gaga, and they're actually pranking Ramona. When Ramona goes into the room to stab Lady Gaga, who's laying stone still on a bed just in the middle of it, Lady Gaga does a hiss jump scare and lunges at Ramona. And Ramona doesn't just fucking swing on her, which would be my reaction, I think, if she did that to me.
Yeah. I would recommend, if you're planning to jump somebody, probably don't be lying on your back. That's, like, a bad position to jump someone from. Unless your name is Oyce Gracie, probably you want to be standing before you, like, jump somebody. Because, yeah, Ramona's, like, on top of her. Like, it's staking time. And then Lady Gaga's just like, boo. And Ramona's like, I can't fight anymore.
Yeah, oh, no.
I've lost the will to do combat. Yeah.
And that is quite literally how that goes down. Elsewhere, Donovan and Iris have subdued Ramona, I guess, who had a knife, by the way, and they put her in one of those cages from the beginning of the season that they put the two Swedish girls in, and I think they just really wanted to reuse that set, because they probably put a lot of money into it for some reason, so they put her in the cage. and it's not cool, just to be clear.
No,
it's not a cool set. It's just like an iron cage that has like one strip of LED lights on it. That's not cool.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I don't know if it was money so much as I think some like Brad Falchuk had like a line of coke and was like, this thing's great, put it back, you know, but
yeah, it's the set is very clearly, or those two props in particular, which good thing there's only two of them and Lady Gaga only has two enemies. I think it very explicitly was like one of the writers' specific ideas, and they were like super excited about it. And they're like, we got to put it back in somehow. We got to bring it back. This is like my best work. And then basically that's what happens. They put Ramona in the cage and it's got cameras that are facing it, and it's in the hole in the wall where the other two vampires were caged up for eternity or something. And there's only those two cages. And then Donovan explains that, like, this is now the weird little private viewing room for when Lady Gaga wants to watch her enemies in these cages. Ta-da! And then Iris is like, God damn it, Donovan, I knew you were going to get lost in the Lady Gaga sauce again. This always happens. That doesn't matter. Somewhere else, Lady Gaga visits Rudy. Remember, not Tristan?
The Italian film star who was so beautiful, but she just like didn't feel like mentioning that other guy looked exactly like him.
Yep.
Yeah. 100%. And she goes to visit him. And apparently the way that they got rid of Natasha, who was a part of their polyamory trio, is that Lady Gaga gave her credit card, and was like, go crazy. And then Natasha's been having a lot of fun living in the present day, using a credit card to buy a bunch of clothes and stuff.
But I thought she needed money, Lady Gaga. Yep.
No.
Okay.
Don't you dare quote things to me that I've said in the past, Sloby. yeah. And then she's like, Lady Gaga's like, I sent her away with a card so that we could have some alone time because I don't actually want to be the polyamory thing anymore. And they like frame it like Natasha has done something to slight Lady Gaga, but she hasn't. And it's weird that she's now decided.
She was another woman.
Yeah, I guess.
She was another woman who wanted that guy. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, crime. Being another woman.
Yeah.
Yep.
True. Polyamory who. And Gaga is like, we gotta kill her. Also, I've been dating so many men that look just like you. Also, hell of an implication, again, from the American Horror Story writers to be like, there's no way two women would love each other. Clearly, in a polyamorous trio that's two women and one man, it will always come down to that the man is the most important focal point of this.
And especially when she was with Ramona earlier in, like, the same season. And Natasha seems cool. I don't see what her problem with fucking Natasha is. Like, Natasha seems tight.
Yeah, Natasha likes Lady Gaga. For what it's worth, Natasha likes Lady Gaga and trusts Lady Gaga. It's just that, obviously, Lady Gaga would only want to be with Rudy, clearly.
And, like, and my problem isn't even so much that it's like in a three-way relationship, there's of course going to be, you know, the man and the woman at the end. What I am bothered by is that Lady Gaga becomes the most boring character in the universe whenever Rudy is mentioned or nearby. Like, she goes from being this like pretty cool vampire lady who's like got moves and is, you know, part of the scene and in there, like she rode around as a disco queen, to being just like pathetic whenever Rudy is around. It's always just like, oh, Rudy, please take me with you, please. And it's literal, like, that's not what I'm here for.
The literal, I don't, like, starfucker now. And again, he's a real guy. God damn it. Like, this doesn't make any, this doesn't work. She's like a fangirl. But really, but what? You're a vampire. Stop.
Yeah. This
is like
so
if
cool.
Dracula were really into Britney Spears. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't.
And gave up all his Dracula stuff for Britney Spears. That's also the plot of Castlevania, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. It's
just kind of, yeah. And then the son is just like, and mom was right, man, you're kind of an ass. Yeah, that's like most of it.
I think they get into it with the, so, like, Aria Sara stuff is when that really comes out. But yeah, it's like.
Alucard, tears in his eyes, ripping down his dad's posters of Britney Spears, just like begging him yeah. to get it together. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the plot of Castlevania. I only know Castlevania lore through Dead by Daylight, so this seems right.
This was the only time I saw my dad happy, and it's just like a photo of Dracula with Britney Spears.
Dracula says, my loneliness is killing me, and throws the wine glass.
This is so toxic. Yeah, incredible. Yeah, and then Lady Gaga's like, yeah, I've dated so many men that looked like you, Rudy, because I've been trying to fill the Rudy-shaped hole in my life. And I'm like, Tristan wasn't enough? You had to kill him? That guy literally was him. What do you mean? Anyway, she's like, we gotta kill Natasha. And Natasha comes back and is like, hey, the two people that I love, I'm having a great time. This is really cool. I would love to spend more time with my husband and my wife. And Lady Gaga's like, that would be so cool. You should come to the Hotel Cortez and we'll have a girls' night, just us, because we're two women who are in love with each other. And then... That's the plan. I really wish they would have had some balls and had her actually want to be with Natasha instead of Rudy, because that would have been way more interesting. Natasha kind of kicks ass, and Rudy kind of sucks. Anyway, Donovan's outside the motel, whatever that means.
I think what it is, too, is just like when Lady Gaga and Rudy are on the same in the same interaction, they both become insanely one-dimensional. And Natasha is at least like anything else. Like there's something going on there as opposed to just the most basic level one, 100 level like romance story, which is all that Lady Gaga and Rudy have, right? Like that's all it is just nothing but doughy-eyed bullshit. And then Natasha comes in and is just like, hey, had a great night on the town. How are you doing? And it's just like, I want to talk to her more, actually. She seems delightful.
Yeah, she's having a great time. She thinks she's got her husband and her wife back, and like she gets to live in like the current day. She got freed from like eternity prison. Like she's having a great time. And everybody hates her for some reason and wants her to die. It's literally that meme of like the little kid with the propeller hat eating a lollipop who's like, I'm having fun. And then the person behind him like, I fucking hate you. I hope you die. Doesn't matter. It's wedding time. It's time for the wedding. And then the wedding happens. And during the wedding, the only person who's there besides them and Lachlan and the priest is Liz Taylor. And Liz Taylor, who hates Lady Gaga now, obviously objects to the wedding. And Lady Gaga's like, God fucking damn it. Well, we needed a witness. And I wish that we had done something else. And I'm like, you could have. You could have used literally anybody else as your witness. And you chose the one person who is currently actively beefing with you. That's a you problem, frankly, a skill issue. And then after the wedding, Lady Gaga is like, I'm going to go upstairs and change clothes. And then she goes to talk to Liz Taylor and she hands Liz Taylor a bouquet and passive aggressively says, I hope she finds real love, or I hope you find real love someday, which is a callback to the beginning of the episode where she was very insistent that Tristan did not actually love Liz Taylor. So just really being petty for no reason. Well, I guess technically Liz Taylor did get snippy and objected to the wedding. So I guess this one was kind of deserved. And then Will Drake goes to the bar to get a drink and James March is there. And he shows up at the bar to be weird to him. And Will asks James March, who is again an old-timey ghost, if he knows the Countess. And I'm like, is that what everybody calls Lady Gaga? Because Will Drake's like just a guy. It would be really weird for him to be calling Lady Gaga the Countess. He's not like aware of her like weird vampirism situation.
He's not a count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does. And James March is like, oh, it's so progressive that you're from a blended family. And then Will Drake's like, yeah, my son Lachlan. And he's like, not that guy, idiot. I'm talking about something else. Come upstairs. I'm like, this is a fucking insane way to approach this reveal. And he takes Will Drake upstairs to go see Boss Baby Bartholomew. And Will Drake sees Boss Baby Bartholomew and is like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's the baby that's face opens in every direction, in case you
forgot. Demogorgon
baby. It is like the kind of, yeah, it's the kind of thing where every single human being on this planet's initial reaction, even if they were prepared, would be, huh, at like the least. You would get like a little huh, reaction. And So he sees the baby and goes, what the fuck? And then Lady Gaga is, of course, standing behind them with like a big rock or like a stone. And it hits him in the head with it and goes, how dare you say my hideous child is ugly?
Yeah. And then she bonks him. And then Will Drake wakes up, not tied up, I have to say, for some reason. Not tied up in the cage room with Ramona. He didn't get put in a cage. He's just kind of free. And then because he's not tied up, he frees Ramona almost instantly. And they're both trapped in the Eternity Hotel. And then within 5 milliseconds, Ramona's been in there for maybe an hour, maybe. Like an hour, maybe 2 hours. As soon as she is free, instantaneously fucking eviscerates Will Drake. Just fucking eviscerates Will Drake to eat from him. And I'm like, God damn, like, I've been there. I've been hungry, like, an hour after eating. She just ate the porn star, like, an hour ago. Like, she's already so hungry, she has to ravenously kill the only other person who could help her escape from this prison room. Like, yeah, definitely more valuable.
That's addiction, man.
Yeah, I guess that's addiction. It all circles back. She fucking eviscerates him immediately. As though she hasn't eaten in 70 years. And then, of course, because Miss Evers said that she would stand above him and watch him die, she does. And as Will Drake's dying, Miss Evers stands above him like, haha, idiot, and would probably flip him off if it wouldn't get them censored on TV. And then all of this is happening while Lady Gaga watches from her bed, and she's smoking a cigarette, but also eating popcorn, which apparently vampires can do. And because the way they edit this scene, it looks like she eats the cigarette, which is pretty funny. And also, again, why is she eating popcorn? She's a vampire. And that's the end of the episode. Is this anything?
You know, she didn't even... Did she get revenge?
I guess.
Oh, wait. This one is she wants revenge, and the next episode...
Yeah, the next episode is she gets revenge. So, yeah. Which is weird, because I feel like she did get revenge at this point.
Against Ramona, like, I guess. But Ramona didn't do anything, technically.
Also, like, she is really mean to James March. I would go as far as to say she's been being mean to James March for the entire time, to the point that, like, they're probably even, honestly. Yeah. At this point, I think they're about even. Yeah. Locked your lovers in the wall. Yeah, I did that once. You've been being a piece of shit for like 80 years. So let's call it a draw. Let's walk away from this.
And then, like, Will Drake didn't really, he didn't do anything to need revenge. Except for be like, when he saw the fucked up baby.
I do have one mea culpa, which is, before this episode, I said, because this is the one I've been waiting for. But actually, I mixed up the titles, because She Gets Revenge is the one I was thinking of. So I apologize, nice, because they're very close style. But that, this, the revenge is very... something. It's very something.
I can't wait.
I'll just say that.
I can't wait.
Yes.
I'm excited. Because, yeah, just to be clear, the final scene is Gaga, and I think Donovan's there too, but just hanging out in a bed watching, like, a wall of monitors. Like, it's not just the one, which is, like, extra confusing. It's like...
Yeah.
So what else does she want to watch? Is she, like, getting into surveillance stuff now? Is that, like, her thing? That's, like, a fetish, right? Wanting to watch people from a distance. Yeah.
Voyeurism,
yeah. Is she getting into, like, weird murder voyeurism? Is that her new thing?
Oh, is she John Kramer, like, from Saw? Is that what you're asking?
Or Sharon Stone from Shiver.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking. Is she John Kramer from Saw now?
That's so cool. I can't wait.
Like, I guess it seems like that's what they want. So that was all of She Wants Revenge. Next time, she gets revenge. And then somehow, another, like, 2 episodes after she gets revenge, which is like, crazy, because you'd think that would be the end, you know, the getting of the
right. She wanted it, she got it. What more is there to say?
yeah. Oh, there's some kids with measles. Yeah, who gives a shit? Big whoop. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I hope to catch you next time for when Lady Gaga gets revenge.
Yay! Have a great night. Bye.